Now, I heard someone say the most important thing is the economy. Is it the economy? Is that the most important issue? I've thought about that, and friend, I had rather leave my children and my grandchildren the legacy of a godly nation than great wealth to be squandered in a godless society. I believe it is what God says that it is. It is righteousness that is our great need. Righteousness exalteth a nation.
Profound truth, simply stated. This is Love Worth Finding with pastor, teacher, and author Adrian Rogers.
Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34 is our verse for this morning. It's a wonderful verse, and it so well helps us as we face the future here in these beloved United States of America. The title of the message today is The Only Hope for America. The only hope for America is found in that verse. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. America is number one, but unfortunately, America is number one in sexual perversion, number one in abortion, number one in crime, number one in the destruction of family values, number one in the enforcement of humanistic political correctness. And I'm thinking about not only myself, but I'm thinking about my children. I'm thinking about my children's children. If the Lord tarries, I ask, what kind of a nation are they going to inherit? Now, I heard someone say the most important thing is the economy. And most Americans evidently believe that. As a matter of fact, it's been sloganized, it's the economy, stupid. Well, is it the economy? Is that the most important issue? I've thought about that, and friend, I had rather leave my children and my grandchildren the legacy of a godly nation than great wealth to be squandered in a godless society. And I don't believe it is the economy. I believe it is what God says that it is. It is righteousness that is our great need. Righteousness exalteth a nation. We have to ask ourselves this question, and it's a sobering question. Do you feel safer in the world, and do you feel safer in America after the implosion of Soviet communism? I mean, after the Iron Curtain fell and disintegrated, do you feel safer? Do you feel better off? The problem is this. We got rid of the demon of communism, generally speaking. Of course, there's some communists in the world today, but generally speaking, the demon of communism doesn't confront us like it did. But we didn't have a spiritual revival. And now we are facing seven other more deadly demons than before, after the house has been cleansed of communism. Alexander Hamilton said this, "People get the kind of government they deserve." And if we want to know what's right or wrong with America, we probably need to go look in the mirror. You see, something has happened in America since our founding days, since 1776. I came across this story the other day. According to the story, the British railroads were looking for a way to test the windshields on their locomotives, because sometimes traveling at those great speeds, they would hit birds flying through the air. And they found out that British Airways had developed a cannon that would shoot dead chickens at the windshields of their airplanes. And to see if the windshields were constructed and they would withhold this impact. And so they thought, well, maybe we can borrow this device from the airways and try it out on our locomotives. And so they said, yes, you can borrow our cannon. And they bought it. And they're getting ready to test the windshield on this locomotive. So they sent someone out to buy some ammunition, a dead chicken. And so he bought the ammunition for this cannon, and they loaded the cannon, they aimed the cannon and fired it at the windshield of the locomotive. The chicken went through the windshield, through the conductor's chair, and made a big dent in the back wall of the locomotive. They were very upset, and they called British Airways, and they demanded an explanation. And according to the story, British Airways said, no problem, but the next time you do this, make certain it's not a frozen chicken. Now, the point of this silly story, if we can find a point, and I believe we can, is that cannon, if there is such a cannon in reality, was not designed to fire frozen chickens. We're trying to make our Constitution and our government do something today it was not designed to do. Now, I want you to pay attention. We're trying to make our government today do something that the Constitution did not design it to do. Now, we need to understand where we've come from. What has made America the greatest nation on the face of this earth? On July the 4th, 1776, there was signed in the city of Philadelphia the Declaration of Independence, and it marked the birthday of this nation. This nation which under God is to be destined for world leadership. But what Americans have forgotten on this day when we talk about our independence was the same document that declared our independence from Great Britain at the same time. And please, teach your boys and girls this. That same document declared with no stutter, no stammer, no equivocation, our great dependence upon Almighty God. In the same document, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. And then this Declaration of Independence closes with these solemn words. Listen, it was a declaration of independence from Great Britain, but listen to the close. Listen for the dependence upon Almighty God. Listen to it. With a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. With a firm reliance upon the protection of divine providence. What is a firm reliance? It is dependence. We, the American people, said we place our dependence on Almighty God when we assert our independence from Great Britain. And so at that time, when they signed this declaration, the cannons fired and the fireworks filled the sky and the bells chimed, and in Independence Hall there in the steeple of the old State House, the Liberty Bell rang, and on that Liberty Bell you could read the verse from Leviticus 25 and verse 10, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto the inhabitants thereof. And in this Declaration of Independence, we said that sovereign God is man's creator. You can't even teach creationism in school today. That the Creator gave us those inalienable rights. The government doesn't give them to us. The government should not take them from us. And that government is only ordained to protect those rights. Read Romans chapter 13 if you want to see what our founding fathers believed about government. Now, with that in mind, and I'm talking to you today about America's only hope, there are three things that come out of this verse that I pray God the Holy Spirit will write upon your consciousness, emblazon upon your soul, and cause to reverberate through your thoughts this 4th of July, weekend. Number one, the righteousness, which is the exaltation of a nation. The righteousness, which is the exaltation of a nation. Look at the verse again. Righteousness exalteth a nation. Learn this and learn it well, please. Righteousness and liberty are inextricably interwoven. You cannot have true liberty without true righteousness. What God hath married, no man can put asunder. Now, what is righteousness? Righteousness is living responsibly under God. You see, righteousness is my assuming my God-given responsibilities as a citizen of the kingdom of God and as a citizen of this great country. Now, I want you to understand that righteousness, and I'm going to call righteousness and link righteousness with responsibility, I want you to see how they are inseparably wed together. For example, a little baby has no responsibilities. He doesn't have to worry about paying the light bills. He doesn't have to worry about going to the grocery store. A little baby doesn't even have to worry about changing his or her clothes. Even dirty diapers are changed for the little baby. You see, the little baby has no responsibilities, but the little baby also has no liberties. He doesn't decide where he's going to sleep. He doesn't say, I'd rather have strained beets than pablum. He doesn't decide what kind of diapers he or she's going to wear. He's carried around. He has no responsibilities at all because he has no liberties at all because he's not lived responsibly. But as the child grows and is able to assume more and more responsibilities, the child is given more and more liberties. And after a while, when the child is responsible enough, maybe he's allowed to walk home from school. Then comes the day when he or she is 16, and they said, Dad, can I borrow the car? Now, Dad has a real decision to make at that time. Is my daughter a responsible individual? Have they shown by the way that they live that they can take this piece of machinery out there on the highway and drive it? Have they shown enough responsibility that they can be given this liberty? That's a big decision, isn't it, parents? I've been there a number of times. Now, when a man becomes a criminal and no longer lives responsibly, what happens to him? We put him in jail. And when he fails in his responsibilities, his liberties are taken away. And now he's in jail. Has no more responsibilities. He doesn't have to turn out the lights, but he has no more liberties. He can't unlock the door. What I'm trying to show to you is this, folks, that liberty and responsibility, righteousness, are inextricably interwoven. You see, what is true for individuals is true for a nation, because a nation is comprised and composed of individuals. We as Americans, listen carefully, will have more liberty or less liberty in direct proportion to our character. When we lose responsibility, when we lose character, when we lose righteousness, as night follows day, we will lose liberty. Whenever there is a loss of character and righteousness and responsibility assumed, which is what character is, whenever there's a loss over here of that, over here on the other side, there is always a growth of government. People who cannot live responsibly from within will be governed from without. Now, what made America such a great nation is this, that America was born in a revival. Don't forget that. From 1740 to 1770, there was a great revival that swept across America. We called it the Great Awakening. And Jonathan Edwards was preaching, and George Whitfield were preaching, and numerous other preachers, and there was a flame of righteousness. And out of that revival, schools were built. And in those schools, principles were taught, and character became very strong. And as a result, out of that, a nation was born. Out of that, a declaration of independence upon Great Britain and dependence upon Almighty God was put into our bosoms by our founding fathers. Now, to our founding fathers, they knew that the more character that you have, the more responsibility you will assume, the less government you will need. To our founding fathers, therefore, the best government was the least government. Now, we have in America today given to us a constitutional republic, a constitutional government, a republic. That is a government based in law, a constitution, but it is where those who serve us in our government serve only as a representative body. They represent us, the people, and they serve only with the consent of the governed. It is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. But now listen to me very carefully. This kind of government can only work where there's character. This kind of government cannot work apart from character. If there's no righteousness, then this kind of government that we believe is rooted in Judeo-Christian ethic, this government, we believe, will not work. Now you say, well, Adrian, you're a Baptist preacher. What do you know about it? Well, let me tell you what James Madison, the fourth president of the United States and the architect of the federal Constitution, let me tell you what James Madison had to say about it. And I'm quoting, listen to it. "We have staked the whole future of American civilization not upon the power of government, far from it. We have staked the future upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves and to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God." That's the architect of the Constitution. That's the fourth president of the United States. We've said our whole future is based upon people who have character. And the basis of that character is the Ten Commandments of God. Which Ten Commandments have been hauled down from the classrooms of America's schools and called unconstitutional? That is the posting of these commandments. Liberty is responsibility assumed. Got it? Liberty is responsibility assumed. Righteousness exalteth a nation. Doing your thing is not responsibility. That is not liberty. That is license. And the ultimate result is a dependent mentality. Real liberty always comes from within. Real liberty is taking the policeman from the street corner and putting him in your heart. The less God rules in your heart and in my heart, the more control we're going to have from without. What is the difference between freedom and slavery? The difference is, where are the laws? In slavery, the laws are on the outside. In freedom, the laws are in here. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any nation. Now, when we had this Constitution, when it was born in the white-hot fires of revival, America was born. She announced her dependence with a firm reliance upon the protection of divine providence. And something wonderful happened when this nation was born. There was an industrial revolution, and America began to produce great wealth. Was that because our soil is richer, it rains more on America, our good old Yankee ingenuity? Are Americans brighter? Do we have a higher IQ? Do we have bigger biceps? No. There were certain principles of liberty that began to work in America, and we had this industrial revolution, and wealth was produced, and we got strength, military strength. We could sing it and say it, "Protect us by thy might, great God our King." We weren't like we are today. The scream of the great American eagle today has become the twitter of a sparrow. Now we're saying we want to put women on the front lines if we have a war. Did you know in the Bible, when God spoke about His judgment upon a nation, you know what He said about them? He said, "I'll make the soldiers like women." That was God's judgment. God said, "I'll make the soldiers like women." That is, I'll take away their strength. Our nation became a strong nation. Our nation became a wealthy nation. And our nation had culture, and our nation had prestige. And Americans were admired all over the world. Today we're scorned and hated. We tried to buy our way through nations around this world. I'm telling you, folks, that liberty and character are interwoven. Liberty is responsibility and character assumed. Righteousness exalteth a nation. So there is the righteousness that is the exaltation of a nation. Got that? Now here's the second point. There is the reproach that is the humiliation of a nation. The reproach that is the humiliation of a nation. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now the great American dream has begun to dissolve because of sin. We came through the Civil War. We came through World War I with God's help. We were poor winners. We didn't know how to give God thanks for what He's done. The flapper age came. The roaring 20s came. America out of control, self-indulgent. Then in 1929, the Depression came. The stock market crashed. What happened in America? It hasn't just happened recently. What happened in America happened a long time ago. We wanted self-government without self-control. It can't be done. And at that time, out of the Great Depression, rather than going back and saying what was wrong and fixing it rightly, we tried to fix it in the wrong way. And so we began there to give more and more power to the government. We began to relinquish more responsibility to the government. Remember, as character disintegrates, there is a loss of liberty and government becomes more and more powerful. Now you watch it. Where there is the erosion of character, sexual permissiveness and perversion and the disposal of unwanted unborn children and the breakup of the family and the obsession with material things and this craving for pleasure, sex and drugs, at that time, government will get bigger and bigger and bigger. Now you see, what government does, and it's a very tricky thing. Government, first of all, begins to provide for people. And the people fail to realize the government can't give anybody anything that it first doesn't take away. The government doesn't have anything to give in and of itself. It only can give what it takes away. But we've been told the government will provide for us. But as the government provides, ipso facto, as night follows day, it assumes more and more authority. And the government that begins to provide begins to regulate. There was a man who had some wild pigs, I'm told, on his property, and he couldn't catch them. A man said, "I'll tell you how to catch those wild pigs." And he went out and put some food on the ground and went away, and the pigs came out of the woods and ate the food. He did that for a while, and then he put a fence post in the ground and the food over there. The pigs saw it, but it's only a post. They ate. And then he put another post, but they continued to eat. Then another, and after a while, he built a little corral. The pigs coming through, there's no wire there, so they eat, and then he begins to put up the wire. And after a while, the entire thing is fenced in except for the gate.
The pigs are coming in through the gate and eating and going back out. And finally, you know what happens? The gate is closed and the pigs are caught. Man said, well, I didn't think you could catch them, but you did. He said, oh, of course. He said, anything that will depend upon me for its food, I can control. Anything that will depend upon me for its subsistence, I can control. You see, when we come to the place where we depend upon the government, ipso facto, it follows, it must follow, that whatever feeds us will control us. And so as there's this growth of government, sin is a reproach to any people. The government begins to give what it, first of all, takes away. And after the government provides and then controls, then it is free to oppress. And then you have a totalitarian government. And we have less and less freedom, less and less liberty, because the weak character of the people has permitted it. Liberty will last only as long as character and responsibility last. Let me tell you one of the stupidest things upon the face of this earth for people to say it makes no difference what the character of our leaders are so long as they can do the job. They can't do the job without character. I mean, it's all rooted together. It is righteousness that exalteth a nation. But as we lose our character, we will lose our liberty. Now, that's the reproach that happens to a people. Remember what Alexander Hamilton said? People get the kind of government they deserve. Well, you say, but Pastor Rogers, we still have a lot of blessings here in America. Yes, we do. But the blessings that we enjoy are the residual blessings that our fathers have left us and our forefathers have left us. But we're living in the shadows of an age, and our liberties are fast receding over the horizon. And it is time that we awakened in America. Now, what will happen if we don't awaken? What will happen? What is the reproach that will come to us? Well, there'd be the loss of liberty. And with the loss of liberty, I'll tell you what will happen. There will be the disappearance of the middle class. It always happens when liberty is gone. You only have two classes then, the very rich and the very poor. And those who are the very rich, for the most part, are in the government, are associated with the government. The very poor are those who are not in the government, who have to work to keep the government going. Now, in 1930, one out of every 205 people worked for the government. Today, it is more like one out of five. From one to 205 to one out of five. Why? As character disintegrates, government grows. And you see, today there is one governmental worker or bureaucrat and one dependent for every three workers. What has happened? Loss of character, a growth of government. And you work from the beginning of the year till just about this time just to pay your taxes. I mean, since the beginning of the year, you've been working. If you're an average American, from the time January the 1st, we had New Year's Day, up until about this time, you've been working just to pay your taxes. Now, I'm not against paying taxes. We ought to pay taxes. But folks, it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Why? Because our character is getting less and less and less. Our Constitution was written by a people of character, for a people of character. There is the righteousness, which is the exaltation of a nation. There is the reproach, which is the humiliation of a nation. Learn this about government. Our fathers knew it. They knew it well. Government is not here to meet your needs. That's not the purpose of government. Read Romans 13. The government is here to protect us from tyranny and to punish evildoers. That's the reason that our forefathers said this, that our government is here to provide the common defense, to promote the general welfare. Not to provide the general welfare, provide the common defense. You and I cannot raise an army. We are to provide for the common defense. We are to promote the general welfare. Give us a land where free-born Americans can go out and do what the Bible says, work, for if a man will not work, neither should he eat. When we begin to see the government as a cow to be milked rather than a watchdog to be fed, we're in trouble. The government is here, as our forefathers understood, to provide the general defense, to promote the general welfare. Now, when the government takes over, the government says, whatever we subsidize, we've got to control, and that would include education. And so we send our children off to an educational system that's outruled God, outlawed God. And then now in the place of the Ten Commandments, we have values, clarification. In place of good old-fashioned Americanism, we have the glories of the welfare state. Instead of a person standing up with patriotism for his nation, our kids are taught the glories of a one-world government and a new world order. Hitler said in 1920, "Give me the minds of the children, and in one generation, I will give you the fascist superstate." Just give me the minds of the children. That's the reason why he started his youth corps. Stalin, in the early 1900s, he did the same thing. That is the humiliation, the reproach of a nation. Now, what has happened in America is this, that the Bible is out and humanism with its X-rated textbooks is in. Here's what the human educators are saying about your children. By the way, if you think that I'm just making this up, what I am giving you right now is taken from an address given at a childhood education seminar by a professor of educational psychiatry at Harvard University. Here's what he said. Every child in America entering school at the age of 5 is mentally ill because he comes to school with certain allegiances toward our founding fathers, toward our elected officials, toward his parents, toward a belief in a supernatural being, and toward the sovereignty of this nation as a separate entity. It is up to you teachers to make all these sick children well by creating the international child of the future. He's sick. Your child is sick if he loves his parents, if he loves the founding fathers, if he believes in God, if he says America first. He's sick, and the educators have got to re-educate him. Let me read you from the Humanist magazine, January, February, 1983, page 26. Quote, "The battle for humankind's future must be waged and won in the public school classroom by teachers who correctly perceive their role as the proselytizers of a new faith." That is, we're going to make the classrooms the Sunday school for humanism. "The classroom must and will become the arena of conflict between the old and the new, the rotting corpse of Christianity and the faith of humanism." And we have the classrooms to do it. And these people are going to subsidize us, and God-fearing Americans are going to pay our salary to break into the plastic mentality of our children and rob them of the values of the parents. There's the righteousness, which is the exaltation of a nation. There is the reproach, which is the humiliation of a nation. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Here's the third thing, and I can only touch on this. There is revival, which is the restoration of a nation. There is revival, which is the restoration of a nation. We need to take America back. God is our only hope. America needs a new birth. Freedom. And that will come when we have the character that our founding fathers had. We don't have to be a majority. We are light and salt. Salt penetrates. Salt purifies. Salt heals. Salt preserves. We're to be the salt, not the sugar. We're to be the salt, not the pepper. We are the salt. But Jesus said, if the salt loses its savor, It's good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the feet of men. Do you know what's happening to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today? She's being walked on. Walked on, trodden under the feet of men. Why? Because we have become salt without savor. You hear today so much about the separation of church and state, the separation of church and state, which phrase is not even found in the Constitution, by the way. What our founding fathers did believe is there should be no state church paid for with tax money, and I'm for that 100%. But not in their wildest dreams did they ever think about the separation of God and government. No. We say one nation under God. God bless America. We are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, and we must remember that, friend. Oh, may help us, God help us to get back to say don't mix politics and religion is like saying put the fish in one barrel and the salt in another. Surely our character ought to permeate our society. We don't just go out and demand liberty. That's like a 12-year-old demanding the keys to the car. It's time we assumed our responsibility. It's time that we as believers began to train our own children to care for our own people, the widows and the orphans. Remember that the Constitution was written by people with character for people of character. And we get the kind of government we deserve. The powers that be are ordained of God. Proverbs 29 verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn.
Friend, as we conclude this message, may I ask you a very personal question, a very pertinent question. Are you saved? I didn't ask if you were religious, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, or anything else. Do you know Jesus Christ? Is He a bright living reality in your life? If not, I've got good news. You can receive Him today as your Lord and Savior, and He will save you instantaneously. He'll be with you continually, and He will keep you eternally. Pray like this, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, forgive my sin, save me, Lord Jesus. Pray it and mean it. And if you do, write to us and let us know so we can rejoice, and we'll send you some literature to help you get started in your Christian life.
We hope that today's message has been an encouragement to you as Adrian Rogers brings us more profound truth simply stated. You can stream this message again, share this message with a friend, and download Pastor Rogers' outline, notes, and a complete transcript of this message all at lwf.org or the MyLWF app. While you're there, be sure to check out our new Bible study taken directly from these messages. At lwf.org, you can also subscribe to our daily Heartbeat email. Each Heartbeat contains a daily devotional thought from Adrian Rogers, a 90-second audio bite, also from Adrian Rogers, and a link to our daily radio program delivered directly to your inbox or mobile device each day. Or if you're looking for some inspiration or encouragement to get you through the week, check us out on social at LWF Ministries. And don't forget, you can catch up on our program each week on our Facebook page or YouTube channel or the MyLWF app. The ministry of Love Worth Finding is distinguished by the trusted voice of Pastor Adrian Rogers, delivering profound truth simply stated. We hope that you will consider partnering with us. It's a great way to extend your personal impact to the nations. Find out more at lwf.org. Thanks for joining us for today's message. We'll see you next time.
You know what is wrong in America? We're not seeking the face of God. We're seeking the hand of God. Revival is when God has not turned His back on us, when God can smile upon us, when God can find favor in us. And they say, oh God, do something. Beloved, can't you see that God is doing something? God is judging this nation. And we need to seek not the hand of God, but the face of God.
The political, cultural, and spiritual climate is intensifying. We need solid biblical answers to our difficult questions. That's why we're honored to share a new book, The Real Battle for the Soul of America. It contains four popular messages from Adrian Rogers, and you can use this book as your resource for biblical responses in the crucial days ahead. For your gift this month, we'd love to send you a copy. Call us at 1-800-647-9400. Or give online at lwf.org.
I tell you, we can change this nation. There are enough Christians in America, if they will wake up and do right,